Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study as we were going into chapter 12 of the book of Romans. And it's like a gold mine full of nuggets for us to dig out. And as we wanted to cultivate proper attitudes to apply to our lives as we began this study, and here's what we covered so far. Verse 1, we need to have a proper attitude towards God and His holy word. And then, as we got to verse 2, we need to have a proper attitude toward the world. Not to be like the world, in other words, but be transformed, becoming more Christ-like. And third, we need to have a proper attitude toward self. That was verse 3. And then, we concluded our study with verses 4 through 8. That is, we need to have a proper attitude toward our brethren. So again, we're wanting to cultivate these proper attitudes as we continue our study, and we'll want to do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Now, what more important thing could we be doing than just that? So remember PFE. Those initials will keep us focused on doing that every day. Now, here's something else we want to mention. We would love to have you join us as we study God's Word in our Bible classes and as we come together to worship God in the assembly. We're striving to do so in spirit, that is, with a proper attitude, but also in truth, in accordance to the New Testament pattern which God has given us in His Holy Word, John 4:24. Now, I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. We really appreciate having visitors. And something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we would love to set that up at your convenience. Also, we have Bible correspondence courses available. Of course, we'll take care of the postage, and they're certainly free. And if you have Bible questions or comments, please write to us. Again, that address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. There you'll find our bulletins and our radio sermons going back a number of years. Now, let's get back to our study of cultivating proper attitudes as we study from Romans chapter 12. So now we're going to pick back up with verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, that is, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Well, of course, we need to have a proper attitude towards sin. Now, God hates sin, and therefore we should hate every false way, as we see in Psalm 119, 104. And Amos 5:15, the first part of the verse, Amos 5:15, notice, hate the evil and love the good. That's right. Now, we must never hate the sinner. I repeat, never hate the sinner. God so loved the world, that's sinners, that's all the world, and we know what all is going on in the world. But realize that all sin is against God. Therefore, we must hate that which separates man from God. Well, look at Isaiah 59:1-2. Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now that's a serious matter, isn't it? Of course. So we need to never hate the sinner, but hate sin as God does. And one more passage we'll look at, Philippians 1:9-10. Philippians 1:9-10. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. We need to be able to approve the things that are excellent. Yes, and let's not be with offense. Certainly we don't want to practice sin. We want to hate it as God does. So that's having a proper attitude towards sin. Now let's go on to verse 10 here in Romans 12. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Well, we need to have a proper attitude toward love. Well, this is the highest form of love, of course. Agape in the Greek. Notice 1 John 2:9-10. 1 John 2:9-10. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now I want us to go to 1 John 3. We just read from 1 John 2. Let's go to the next chapter. Chapter 3, let's notice verses 16 through 18. 1 John 3:16-18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, that's right. Notice how we can understand the love of God. We see it because of the love that God the Father has for us in sending his Son to die for our sins, and the Lord himself submitted to his Father's will. He endured the cross because he loves us. And that should really resonate in our soul, if you would. Now, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Well, it's not there, is it? It wouldn't be there if that was the case. Now, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, and we could say only, because it's good to tell each other we love each other, but not just do it only in the word of saying it, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now that's love in action. So we need to tell each other we love each other, but show it, not just say it. That's the point, isn't it? And now let's go over to chapter 4, still in 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 11, beginning. Excuse me, 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Note that. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We see that. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That is, if we're living in accordance to the will of God, we're following the teachings of Christ, we're becoming more Christ-like as we continue our journey in this life, we're not just believing only or just saying the name Jesus. We're showing that we're followers of Christ by the way we live. Now notice this. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. That's right. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We need to have a proper attitude towards love, and especially in loving our brethren, loving the lost, love our enemies, as we know Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. So much more could be said, but agape love is the highest form of love. And agape love will eliminate envy and strife. Remember how Abraham gave Lot the choice to promote peace between them? Genesis 13:9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Abraham showed Lot in action agape love. Now, as you study 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is dealing with miraculous gifts, as they were arguing over who had the best gift in the Corinth Church of Christ, and Paul showed them a better way, and that is to have charity, agape love. And of course, the miraculous gifts would cease after the word of God was complete. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Verse 10 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And what's the greatest of the three of faith, hope, and charity? Well, it's charity. It's agape love, the highest form of love. So that's a great chapter to study. We call it the love chapter, do we not? But here's something else to point out. Demas, remember, he was with Paul, but he forsook Paul. Why? Having loved this present world. 2 Timothy 4:10. Perhaps Demas didn't want to be put to death. He was afraid to die. He wanted to stay in this life. Well, when we die, what happens? We go to paradise if we're faithful in the Lord's church. No reason to be afraid of that. You have the victory. So we don't want to have that kind of love for the world. As we looked at this last week, 1 John 2:15-17. Notice again, 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, 1, the lust of the eyes, 2, and the pride of life, 3, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Satan uses those temptations still today. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There it is. That's what we want to emphasize. Now let's go on, verse 11. Back to Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now again, we're cultivating proper attitudes. So here is the point. We need to have a proper attitude towards business here in verse 11. As employees, workers, are we to be lazy and try to get by with as little as possible? Well, no, we're to be fair and honest as we're employees and workers. Look at Colossians 3, 22 through 23. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now that would apply to the employer-employee relationship, would it not? Notice, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Think about doing it for the Lord, glorifying God as we do a good job. Put all our efforts into being a good employee, in other words. Chapter 4, still in Colossians, chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. What about the employer? If we're a Christian employer, we have people working for us. How do we treat them? We better treat them as God is giving us instructions, to be just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven as well. Of course we do, our Lord and Savior. Now, we should always treat people, this is everyone, like we want to be treated. Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now what would happen if everyone followed the golden rule, which is God's way? Well, that would be something, wouldn't it? I mean, to tell you how many evil things would disappear. Wow, that would be something if everybody followed the golden rule. But unfortunately, man's philosophy comes into play. And what does it offer? Well, so many philosophies of man are detrimental to other people. To the person that has the philosophy, they think that's best for them. But what about others? It doesn't work out so well when you think about the comparison with God's way and man's way. It's just not going to work out. Let's submit to God's way and not man's way. But let's go on. Romans 12:12-13. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. We need to have a proper attitude toward the poor. And if we become poor, what's going to be our attitude in life? That works both ways, doesn't it? Now again, we need to cultivate this proper attitude. It will be of great benefit for overcoming trials and tribulations in our lives as we certainly cultivate these three attitudes that are seen here in verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now, physically, we may have many problems. We might have poor health, poor financial situations. We may be suffering persecution. But here's the key. We have hope in Christ, where those outside the body of Christ do not. Look at Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's right. Now, Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That's right. And you can study James 2:1-9 as well. I wish we had time for that. But 1 Timothy 5:8, we want to look at this. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let's have the proper attitude towards the poor. And if we become poor ourselves, be content. We're still in Christ, and we have all those rich blessings that are only in Christ. But let's go on, as our time is drawing nigh. And this would be verses 14 through the end of the chapter, 14 of Romans 12 through verse 21. Okay, here we are. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. We need to have a proper attitude toward evildoers. Cultivate this, all of us. Overcoming evil with what? More evil? No. Revenge? No. With good. That's the Lord's way. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, Matthew 5:44, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now that's good. That's doing good. That's doing what the Lord would have us to do. Colossians 3:14, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. As we talked about agape love, highest form. Now notice, when we seek revenge, are we not becoming like the person who wronged us from the start? And have you ever known two wrongs to make a right? No, you have not, and neither have I. Two wrongs never make a right. Is our attitude what God would have it to be? Well, let's all answer that question. Is my attitude what God would have it to be? Then perhaps, if it's not, we need to do the correction right now. Start right now. You see, we can have a good influence on those who practice evil. Remember Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Now, what about verse 16? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, if our attitude is what God would have it to be, then perhaps we could have a good influence on those who practice evil. Heap coals of fire on their head. If they do not respond, God will take care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Let's never forget that. So as we've studied these two Lord's days, chapter 12 of the book of Romans, Paul's inspired letter to the Church of Christ at Rome, let's cultivate these proper attitudes. But we have to be willing to examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Now, what is my attitude towards God and His Word? Is it proper? Towards the world? Is it proper? Towards myself? Is it a proper attitude? What about towards my brethren? Do I have proper attitude towards my brethren? What about sin? Do I have a proper attitude towards sin? And we emphasize agapu, agape love, the highest form of love. What's my attitude towards love? And what about towards business, as an employer or as an employee? We should do as the Lord wills. What's my attitude toward the poor? And if I become poor myself, I need to still be faithful to God and be thankful for what I have. And what about evildoers, as we just discussed? What's my attitude towards those who do me wrong? Do I want to get even? Or do I want to do what the Lord would have me to do and overcome evil with good? So, as we close out our study this morning, what kind of attitudes are we cultivating, working at it, improving, and being more like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? He's our example. And as followers, we need to be doing what He did as He lived on this earth. How did He treat others? You see, we want to please God and go to heaven, do we not? But we have to do it the Lord's way, not our way. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. That's right, we need to hear the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17, in this book we've studied. Once we hear the truth, we're learning about Jesus, how He went to the cross and died for our sins. Well, of course, we believe that, do we not? We must. John 8:24, except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Now, here's the hard part. To repent. Get out of a sinful life. Do the will of God, not our own will. Allow God to direct our steps. Luke 13:3-5. Luke 13:3-5. Now, having repented, we're ready to confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. Now, that's unto salvation. The next step puts us into Christ, being baptized for the remission of our sins, contacting His precious blood. And we thank you so much for listening today.